what's it been like having Charlie and Romeo, your New England ex-New England guys, as your coordinators now?
Well, you got to remember, I wasn't in New England. Where I know Charlie and Rack from is the New York Jets. You know, and when we were all there in the late '90s, you know, shared an office with Charlie, just a couple doors down from Romeo, for 3 full years. So, I think any time in this league, you can have some continuity, familiarity. It's a good thing. You know, I knew as late as I got this job last year that though I was excited about everybody, I was able to get onto the staff that late, you know, but you're talking about March, and it's kind of like musical chairs and last one standing. But I knew it was going to be a process, and it was, and I was just happy that things kind of fell the way that they fell. Romeo wasn't quite ready my first year to come back, though I tried a bunch of different ways to get him to consider it, but I was happy that he was ready to go this year. So it's good, you know, but I've got a bunch of really good coaches in general and a bunch of people that have ties to, you know, that 1990s New York Jets team and staff that played some pretty good football, you know, and learned from a pretty good coach and Coach Parcells.
Todd, how when you took over, you know, it was 2-14, and people are always fascinated by teams that go pretty quickly from the bottom to the top. What were, going back, what were some of the things that you identified that you wanted to get done as far as rebuilding, restructuring the Chiefs?
Well, probably too many to mention. You know, we knew that it was going to be a big job, and I knew it was going to be a big job when I got offered to be the head coach of the Chiefs. That being said, you know, I think you've got to, number one, you got to work real hard at finding a staff that can work together, and there's some continuity and some common beliefs and direction. And you've got to have a mix of young and veteran coaches, much like your players, so that you can be developing young coaches as you go forward. That's a critical aspect of this thing. But as far as the players go, you know, much the same. You know, you had to find the players that, you know, or you had to determine through some pretty hectic times and a pretty tough season, you know, who were the kind of guys that you wanted to have around. And it's just as importantly, that wanted to be around, and that plays itself out, and you know, so that probably as big as anything is what you got to figure out pretty fast, you know, and overall, I think part of the reason why you know, there is some pain and suffering, so to speak, early on is that, you know, you're trying to change a lot of people to think the way that you think, and to get a lot of young people in most cases that to believe that what you're telling them is the way to do it, and that you can get them to the promised land, so to speak. So, you know, that's not easy, and it's not without some, you know, pain and suffering, so to speak. Like I mentioned, the Jets of the '90s, you know, and I'm fortunate to have been a part of that staff, you know, that was on, that when we came in, you know, or when Coach Parcells came in, and Charlie and Rack, and a bunch of the players that were there coaching for me right now, and Otis Smith that played for us with the Jets, Richie Anderson, Anthony Pleasant. So that's where the common belief, but and on top of that, a lot of guys were there when that team won one game in, you know, the 95-96 years, you know, where they won a total of 3 games. And we were there, I was there for that turnaround and was able to witness, experience what that was like. And I'm really grateful for that experience, because people have asked that exact question, you know, how do you know what you're doing is right? How do you know, some of those things? And you don't ever know for sure, but having been in some of those situations and seen it turn around, you kind of feel what it should feel like anyway, and I feel like we're making progress, and we're by no means there yet. You know, we're not a good team. We're still a team that hadn't won a lot of games that's trying to find continue building a foundation so that we can be a good team in the future.
Hey, Coach, how vital has Casey been to what you guys are doing in the run department this year?
Well, he's been vital in every area. you know, some of this offseason was critical to being able for us to be able to continue this process of making progress. You know, and I felt that progress went on throughout last year, especially the last half of the season, once everybody kind of got their feet under them and understood what the expectations were. But, you know, this offseason was critical in that, you know, you draft the right kinds of players that fit with what you're trying to do, both schematically and as a team, you know, and what type of people you want on your team. And then as far as free agency goes, the same thing was very critical, you know, and we signed a number of free agents, Thomas Jones, Ryan Lilja, you know, Mike Vrabel came back on his own terms, Chris Chambers came back on his own terms, but Casey Wegman, I can't put anybody as more important to us as a team than Casey. You know, Casey was back there in New York when I was a young coach, and we always said hello to each other and remembered each other, and when there was an opportunity to get Casey on this team, I just knew how much he would bring to us in a number of different areas, starting with his ability, but also in his quiet leadership and really just how to be a professional. I don't know that I've ever been around a player, you know, that is as much of a true professional as Casey Wegman, and I'm just happy he's on our team.
Was there any trepidation maybe bringing in a guy with that much wear on the tires, or was that a plus for him?
Well, I think that as you watch the tape of Casey, you know, it's critical that any of the veterans you sign, especially guys with as many years under their belt as Casey has had, that they can still play, and that's what, you know, you watch the tape and you study and you try to make as accurate an estimation or a guess as you can, because you just don't know. But the one thing I knew about Casey, and that we knew about Casey going all the way back to the 90s, is that you know, he was a very smart guy, and he did a very good job of taking care of his body, and you could see that through the years. You know, like I said, as we crossed paths, you know, I've done a lot of study of Casey Wegman and always paid attention to him, and he took great care of his body, and you didn't see any slowdown from him. You know, he's always going to be a little undersized interior lineman, but he never let that get in his way, you know, and I've always kind of been going back to my father being with the Steelers, a pro athletic, quick guy, desire for offensive linemen and stay away from the more oafy linemen. So Casey fits that bill. He's an athletic, quick, smart player that takes care of his body, and thus has been able to have a truly great career.
Todd, how did Pioli and Charlie came from New England, where it was Brady in the shotgun and Moss and Welker were the identities of their offense. You came from Arizona, where it was Warner and Fitzgerald. How did you guys come together and come up where your offensive identity now is pretty much Charles and Jones? It's running the ball.
Well, you know, again, I New England doesn't really have a bunch to do with what we're doing here. Though some guys went through New England and had great success out there. You know, Scott and I worked together with the New York Jets, and I think as a coach, you know, he's in charge ultimately of bringing the players in that are going to make up our team. But you know, why I feel like we really have a chance to be a successful organization is because, you know, Scott and I are on the exact same page as far as what types of players and the makeup of guys we want to be a part of this team. I think that what I've learned as a coach from, again, some of my mentors, and one of them being Coach Parcells, is that you better play to your players' strengths. And sometimes that's a process of you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg. And when you're starting a program from the ground up, which is what we've tried to do, you know, the players that you end up having on your roster, sometimes you gotta try to figure out what they do best and then play accordingly. So, and one of my philosophies, despite the fact that in Arizona we were able to get to the Super Bowl throwing the ball predominantly, a big part of that was the strength of our team. You know, we happened to have a guy in Kurt that could throw the heck out of the ball, and some really good receivers, and it fit really, it play to the strength of our team. So, you know, that's what I try to do each and every year as a coach. And then from there, you form your philosophies and how you want, and you try to find guys that can plug into those holes. But as a coach in the NFL, I've always known and believed and truly believe that you got to be able to run the football efficiently when you need to. So I will always be looking for ways to be a good running team first.
Are you happy with the way you guys have split the carries with Jones and Charles? And I mean, it seems like they've both been fairly productive, but Charles obviously had that ridiculous game here in Denver a couple months ago.
Well, what I'm happy about is that we're making progress as a team, you know, and part of that has been the development of our running backs and fullbacks, and I got to take my hat off to Mo Carthon, you know, another guy from those New York days, who I've been with for 9 years at four different places, and obviously knows a lot about running backs, and he's been a huge part of the development of Jamal Charles. He didn't just, you know, though a good college player, it took some time, and it takes coaching, and it takes development, and it takes for somebody to blossom the way Jamal has, you know, generally, or usually there's a coach there that's pushing him and making him better, and in this case, Mo's the guy, and in addition to that, being able to bring in a Thomas Jones, much like Casey Wegman, you know, that is a true professional, that one of the great leaders I've ever been around as a player, and those two are friends. They care about each other. They want to see each other succeed. They're very unselfish, which is kind of starting to become the MO of our team. You know, we got a lot of guys that are willing to put the team first, and it starts with those guys because they really don't care who gets the highlight. They just want to be part of something special, so they're pushing each other every day. And they just were again today, and after practice, they're working, pushing, prodding. And I think that's part of the process of trying to become a good team. So, you know, of course, you know, we're number one in the league in rushing right now, and so you will hear no complaints from me as far as our backs being productive in the mix, and there's a lot of things that go into that.
Todd, you're considered a fiery guy. Have you ever had to go back and sort of smooth over some hard feelings with a player?
Well, I think that's coaching. You know, I've mentioned my mentor, Bill Parcells, and one of his greatest attributes in my mind, you know, the greatest coach I've ever been around, and I think should go down as one of the great coaches of all time. And you got to remember, I grew up a ball boy for the Steelers watching Chuck Knoll coach, so he was a pretty good one too. But Coach Parcells, what he had the uncanny ability to do, or the ability to do, was press his players and coaches alike to the point where you didn't like him a whole bunch, but he had a great or uncanny feel to know when was time to, you know, a lot of times quietly and not when anybody was looking, put his arm around you, make you feel a little better, say some kind words that changed your whole attitude, much like a father would, or a business owner, or anybody trying to get greatness out of a group of people and a team. And I think that's just part of coaching, you know, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. I've been taught, and the way that fits my personality is to push players every day, and don't accept anything less than their best. But once the players understand that what you really want out of them is their best, and that you want them to be great, and that you really care about them. I have five kids, and it's a lot like how you have to deal with your children. Not comparing these kids to children. I mean, not that these guys are children, but that there is some discipline involved, and then there's got to be love and caring, and that's all part of it. And I think the coaches that are able to do that, do both, can be good coaches, you know, if they know what they're doing as far as the game of football goes. But from the philosophical standpoint, I think that's important.
Is it easier if there's a win at the end of that, at the end of the day?
Oh, well, absolutely. You know, that makes it I think if you don't eventually get the win or get the wins, that it could start to become more difficult. But, you know, again, I think that there's some great coaches that have gone through the process without seeing a lot of success, you know, specifically early in their tenures at you know, with teams. And I think the great coaches or the real good coaches find a way to continue to stimulate that growth and of their team and of their players. And it could be an assistant coach, a coordinator, or a head coach. But, you know, the win is the reward for all the sacrifice and work, and the win definitely speeds the process, because when the players feel that feeling and they realize that, hey, what this guy was asking me to do paid off. But, you know, again, success in general helps stimulate the growth in the process and makes everything a little easier.
How about after last week? We had to buy, so everyone watched your game last week, and it looked like there's about six or seven different ways you could have won that game. Are you concerned about coming back from a loss like that?
Well, like I said, you know, we're in the process of trying to become a good team. We're in the foundation lane portion of that process, and that started last year. It continued through last year. It continued through the off season, which I felt was a really good off season. You know, I saw some clear cut changes in the personality of our guys and their expectation level of what they expected from themselves and this team. I thought we had it continued through training camp, and it's continued through the halfway point of the 2010 season, and that is what's critical, that guys are seeing, understanding first that this is a process, that we're not there yet, that we just got to get a little better every day, and each practice, each game is an opportunity to do that. So when we have a game like we did against Oakland, though, you know, there were some things in that game that definitely kept us from winning. You know, it was things that we did, and they're correctable things, and I think our guys understand that. You know, but we're a developing team. We've been through some crazy games, especially in these last four. You know, we had the Houston Texans, where a game on the road against a good team, we felt like, you know, we had done enough things to win, and we didn't win. But, you know, we were able to bounce back and get a couple wins, but really our focus is just on trying to get a little better every day and a little better every Sunday, and that's what I think has given us a chance, or has helped us a bunch. I believe has helped us a bunch here as we're continuing through this process.